You say you've got a question about forgiveness in relation to what P.D. Uspensky wrote as he studied the Lord's Prayer and came upon those words, "Forgive us our debts." And you point out that Uspensky states people take for granted they can forgive debts, and that it is equally good to forgive debts and have their own debts forgiven. His point being that one can only really forgive through remembering oneself, and thereby having the power of will and unification to do so. And then you point out that he says, "The strangest thing is that sometimes it is a crime to forgive. We do not know whether it is good to forgive or not, whether it is good to forgive always. It is sometimes a crime to forgive." And then finally, you point out that Uspensky says, "We must understand that to forgive indiscriminately may be worse than not to forgive at all." And you seek to know how we reconcile that with the teaching to forgive 70 times 7. This is a case where you must trust your intuition and where you are now in relation to all that you have studied and lived and suffered and reflected on. You must trust that this intuition in your heart tells you that this can't be right. Even with such great respect for Uspensky and his mind, it seems in violation of the teachings of the Christ. So we can understand, first of all, that he has a point to suggest that as we are so fragmented that the part of us that would forgive someone still leaves in the possibility that we will not forgive them, that another I will not forgive him, and that these separate I's, so contradictory, are buffered so that we cannot see this total paradox. So there is some quality of truth in his pointing out that we take for granted that we are unified and that we have the capacity to, out of our whole being, give forgiveness to another. This out of our whole being is out of a state of self-remembering. However, then he goes on to speak about that sometimes it is a crime to forgive, and we do not know whether it is good or not. Now, what we have here is a seed of truth in the idea that, particularly for people working on themselves, on a journey of evolution, the wrong work that is within us is precisely what we have to work on, and rather than have it wiped away and absolved through forgiveness, we have to face it and confront it and understand it and acknowledge it and transform it. Now, that is one truth. And that is why he would go on to say that to forgive indiscriminately may be worse than not to forgive at all, which is certainly a radical thought in the Christian context that has come down to us. But I would point out to you that which your heart has already sensed. There is such a presumption there, such a lack of mercy, such a hardness of character that is so representative of Uspensky, this man of the mind, not of the heart, and who did not complete his journey in a way that one could say was successful, with peace and joy and wisdom, but rather the opposite, with melancholia, with alcoholism, with depression. And perhaps this is a place where in these few phrases we can sense something that was fundamentally wrong with him. In the text where he expounds on this, he goes on to say there would be no incentive for us to work then, and no reason to work. It is a bit surprising that such a genius of mind would seem to have such a limited grasp of the impact of forgiveness on our reason to work. I think of Les Misérables and the utter transformation of Jean Valjean when the good bishop forgives him for stealing his candlesticks and actually gives them to him. This would be something that Uspensky could not understand. And yet, Victor Hugo understood it from an entirely different place of genius, the genius of the heart that recognizes that such exposure to goodness, such impact of love, is the ultimate transforming tool, if you will. In Uspensky's mental concept of secret esoteric schools and the discipline and hardship of this inner journey of working on oneself, you can see that there is a fundamental missing component. It is all we who are doing the work and the mysterious teachers who are guiding us, and there is no room for grace, for mystery, for that simple humanity of loving one another. Nobody is loving the other in these imagined schools because that isn't the aim or the purpose of the school. It is a shaping of will, mathematical use of attention. Now, all these things that Uspensky could draw diagrams of, and yet who at the very end of his life told his students to abandon the system, the fourth way system that he was teaching them, and go to find the origins, the sources of these teachings on Mount Athos. And he specifically referenced the prayer of Jesus as a component of this tradition from which these teachings come. So I believe that ultimately when you are reading something like this and reflecting on what the Christ says and what this respected, admirable person says, the Christ always wins out in terms of truth. It is really very simple. One can play mind games to justify and understand where Uspensky is coming from. But when all is said and done, lack of forgiveness, or as you point out, daring to judge what can be forgiven and not forgiven, is so godless, so far from the transformational, unconditional love that is at the core of the nature of God and the revelation of Christ, that in the end there is no issue here at all. Uspensky is wrong. Period. As a final proof of this fact, we can look at the words that he wrote in the midst of this material. Suppose for a moment that there actually was some benevolent and rather stupid deity who could forgive our debts and who would really forgive them and wipe them out. Why would Uspensky use the word stupid? This is a reflection on Uspensky, on his view, his total lack of comprehension of a level of emotion that he cannot understand, and so he calls it stupid. The God who reigns on the just and the unjust. It does not make sense to him, and therefore he must use such a poor word to describe the uncreated one. And he considers it stupid to be forgiven when we don't deserve it. As he said, taking away the incentive to work on ourselves. But the incentive is we love him because he first loved us. And it is evident that Uspensky, the Russian philosopher, did not experience confession, where one is given the opportunity to find cleansing through recognizing one's errors and be handed, in spite of oneself, the opportunity to try again, to find healing and wholeness in spite of ourselves, precisely because of this deity who loves us beyond measure.